Greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Please keep your Bibles turned to Genesis chapter 1. Out of all the books of the Bible, the book of Genesis, I believe, is the book that the evil one has assaulted the most. And out of all the 50 chapters in this wonderful book, chapter 1 is the chapter that he will target the most. This year is the celebration of the 200th anniversary of the birth of Charles Darwin, the man who had given this world his theory of evolution. This is the world's perspective of how this world came into being. And so they say that this world is billions of years old. Christians who have compromised the faith have only given strength to the theory of evolution. For those who are called new evangelicals, who wish to embrace the friendship of these believers and practitioners of evolution, have coined this term called theistic evolution in order not to offend evolutionists. They say that God has, in his infinite wisdom, chose to bring this world into existence by way of the theory of evolution. They just added the word God to it, hoping that this would Christianize the theory of evolution. So it's a big word, theistic evolution. Bible versions have jumped into this bandwagon, and they try to diminish the work of God. And so some translations have turned verse 1 of Genesis chapter 1 into a temporal clause. And so they call this, when God began to create the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And then God said, in other words, God's first creative act did not begin in verse 1. What we have in verses 1 and 2 would be part of the temporal clausal introduction. And so therefore God's first creative act is found in verse 3. Now all these will help to promote the theory of evolution and will continue to diminish the act of God in the origin of the universe. If the creative act of God began with verse 3, what does that mean? It means, let there be light, and there was light. Matter already existed. God just simply continued on where matter had already existed, and then God just simply started to say, now let there be light. It denies the creation ex nihilo, that all things came into being out of absolutely nothing. That's the doctrine of creation ex nihilo. Now if the first act of God's creation begins with verse 1, in the beginning, not a temporal clause, not when, but in the beginning, a declarative statement of fact. Before there was anything, before there was even the slightest particle of dust, even before there was darkness, there was absolutely nothing other than God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Prior to any other physical existence, God already existed. And so God was there when he made this declaration, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. God's first creative act did not begin with verse 3. It began in verse 1, where God created the heaven and the earth. And then God will zoom in only on the earth. And then God said the earth was without form. So if you use your imagination, you realize that the whole universe was created by God by his spoken word, instantaneously. It came into existence out of nothing. The whole universe came into existence. This is attested by inspired scripture. in Hebrews 11, verse 3. This is a commentary of Genesis chapter 1, verses 1, 2, and 3 by the inspired writer, Hebrews 11, 3. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. That means God just simply spoke it, it came into existence, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Creation ex nihilo. God created all that we can see, we can smell, we can touch, we can handle. All these things came about out of nothing. We accept by faith. The theory of evolution needs to be accepted by faith as well. No one was there. And yet, they believe the words of Charles Darwin. Was Charles Darwin there at the beginning of time? He was not. Neither was any human being. So those who believe in the theory of evolution accept it by faith. If they challenge that our belief it is by faith, at least our belief is in faith in God. Their belief is faith in puny, finite man. Darwin was born 200 years ago. They said the world, according to them, billions of years ago. Darwin was only 200 years ago. Not billions of years ago. He wasn't there. He was billions of years too late. So you want to take his word? The word of finite man who knows so little, who continues to make mistakes of the mistakes, blunders of the blunders. And what we have today are just the notions of man piled on top of the sinking sand notion of Darwin. It will not stand. It will collapse. It will fall. The fact that they are teaching it in schools, they are being promoted by so many millions of people throughout these past century, does not mean that it is true. Truth is not determined by the majority, neither is it determined by the world. Truth comes from God. You and I have to accept what God says by faith. Because the Bible tells us that without faith it is impossible to please Him. Without believing in what God says in His Word, we are basically calling Him a liar. And so the origin of the universe came about from the power of God's Word when He openly declared without apology. He's not going to introduce Himself. He just simply declared, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the heaven that He created was the third heaven and the second heaven. We get the title third heaven from the experience of the great Apostle Paul, where he said he was caught up into the third heavens. That means we have the first heaven, that is the atmosphere, the air that we breathe, this is atmospheric heaven, first heaven. And then the second heaven would be outer space, the stratosphere. And the third heaven would be where angelic beings dwell. Now the reason why we said in this first day, on this first day, the word heaven there includes only the second and third heaven is because day two was the day where God created the first heaven, the firmament that God used to split up, to divide the water beneath and the water above. This firmament, which is what we call the atmosphere, the first heaven. And so if the first day was the day where God created the second heaven, that is outer space, and the third heaven, that means angels were created on the first day. Satan, angelic Michaels and Gabriel and all of them and all the myriads of angelic beings were all created on day one. And then after that, God just simply targeted and zoomed in on the earth, and God declared by telling us that the earth was at this point in time without form and without void. It has no form and it was empty. So God will spend the first 3 days of creation forming it. And then He will spend the next 3 days, 4, 5, and 6, filling it
so that it will cease to be without form after the first 3 days, and then it will cease to be empty or void by the time God finished after day 6. God, out of all the planets of the universe, zoom in only on one tiny little blue marble. Of course, at the point in time, it was not blue. Later on, then you find it is blue. Blue because from the moon you look at it, from outer space, it's blue in color because of this ocean. What we see then, or now, was because it was after the flood. Prior to that, before the great flood, which we will study, God willing, in a few weeks' time, the earth will look very different. It's not like what we see today. Day one, there was darkness. And then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God said, the light, call it day. The darkness, call it night. Evening and morning, the first day. The day there means 24-hour days. Every time when there is a numerical adjective, first day, second day, third day, throughout the whole Bible, numerical adjective, the word day is always understood at 24 hours. We know that the word day has three different uses in the Bible. It could be day in terms of long period of time, like the Bible says, in the last days. We are living in the last days. Christ came to start off the last days. It has already been 2,000 years. We do not deny that day can be used in terms of a long period of time. Day can also refer to a 12-hour daylight day. That's the second usage of the word day as opposed to day and night. And then, of course, the day there would be the 24-hour day. And if you were to do some word study, you realize that because of numerical adjective, because of the immediate context, the word day there has to be a 24-hour day. And so the first 24-hour day, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth at this point in time was in total darkness, and God created light, but it was still without form and it was void. That was the close of day one. And then the second day came. God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the water to divide the waters from the waters beneath. So God created the first heaven, the atmosphere. And God called the firmament heaven, verse 8. That's second day. It's now beginning to take shape. And then God will now focus on the earth that is beneath this heaven. Day 3, verse 9. Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, that is, focusing on the earth. And let the dry land appear, and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. And then he brought in the green grass, the green herbs, fruit trees, yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after its kind, and tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after its kind, and God saw that it was good. It was day three. So it was now very, very, very well formed. There is water, there is earth, there is green vegetation. Trees that were fully grown, everything all ready and prepared. And now God will begin to fill it with additional life after he has given it plant life. So we come to day four. And before God did that, God will have to create the sun, the moon, and the stars to shine on this planet Earth. The rest of the stars and the rest of the universe already created, but for the moon, the sun, and the stars, God created for us, just for this particular portion. For the earth, so that they will become seasons and times for days and for years for those who live on the earth. That's day four. All these started with God creating ex nihilo. Day five, God will bring in the whales. God brought in the birds. Verse 20. He brought in the fish, sea creatures. Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament, and it was so. In other words, when all these came into existence, they were full grown. You ever heard of the phrase, when you are in a dilemma, you do not know which came first? Oh, you say, oh, this is a chicken and egg problem. Which came first, the chicken or the egg? For those who believe in evolution, they will continue to scratch their head and they will have no idea which came first, the chicken or the egg. As a Christian who believes in creation, that's not a problem, that's no dilemma. Which came first? The chicken. And then the egg. That's what the Bible says. Verse 21. God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl, including the chicken, after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the sea, and let fowl multiply in the earth. That's the close of day 5. Day 6, the most wonderful of all, the 6 days, the climax of God's creation, he will leave it for last. And he tells us, let the earth bring forth living creature after his kind. This will be the land animals. Verse 24 and 25. The cattle. These are the creatures that walk on the earth as well as creeping things. Verse 25b. And God saw that it was good. There was no sin. There was nothing that was bad. Everything was good. God was so elated, so happy to look at his creation, and everything was taking shape extremely well. And then verse 26, for the first time, never before, God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And so now, for the first time, God says, as far as man is concerned, we shall make man in our image, the image of not angels, but God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God's image. That's why us is used. Not with reference to angelic beings. We are not made in the image of angels. We are made in the image of God. That's why the earth there has to be the plurality of the Godhead. Although not mentioned, but we know from day one, God declared God was there. And then the Bible tells us in verse 2, the Spirit of God moved. So the Spirit was there. We have no knowledge from Genesis 1 that the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, was there as well, until we turn to John chapter 1. But the Bible tells us the Lord Jesus Christ was there. He was the Word, and the beginning was the Word, and without the Word was not anything made that was made. So without Jesus Christ participating in God's creation, nothing could have existed. So God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all of them participated in the creation, and so before man was made or created by God, there was a conference. Let us make man in our image. And so God created man in his own image. Verse 27, in the image of God created he male and female. From Genesis chapter 2, we realize that the method God used to create man was different from the method he used to create Eve. No different. Just because the method was different, this does not mean that the final result was any different. Both of them were made in the image of God, although the method of bringing them into existence were different. Don't forget that. Male, female created he them. And then God blessed them. God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. So from now onwards, you're going to be fruitful and multiply so that there will be many more human beings on the earth. And God was so happy. God saw everything. And then God said in verse 31, it was very good. That means there was no sin. Angels had not fallen yet. Satan had not rebelled yet. He was not called Satan. He was called Lucifer. Means bright light, morning star. So everything was good. God created ex nihilo. That's the first thing we learn concerning the origin of universe. And because he created all things will have to answer to him one day. Why do you think the theory of evolution is so attractive to sinful men? Because by this belief in this theory, sinful men wanted to remove any sense of accountability to his creator. And that is the ploy of Satan. So that man can just simply live in sin, indulge in sin, and couldn't care less. And then they will end up in hell. And that's why whenever a gospel is preached, it must begin with the condemnation of sin. Because that is the start of our journey of salvation in Jesus Christ. That's the evil, diabolical theory of evolution. Man would embrace it happily so that he can continue to indulge and swim in his filth. Without any sense of accountability, his conscience has been completely seared. That's why it is so deadly. And that's why as parents, we must warn our children. Please come on the 31st of May. I believe it's the 31st of May. Where Dr. Carl Whelan will come and he will present a very, very wonderful film that they had just completed. It will be special evening. It will begin at 5 p.m., not 6. If you have children who are bombarded by the school concerning how this world came into existence, that this world is billions of years old and dinosaurs are millions of years old, please invite them, pray for them, bring them. They need to know the truth. And if you are parents and you are struggling on how to deal with such nonsense that our children are bombarded with, please come yourself and be instructed so that you can give God-honoring biblical advice. 5 p.m., please come. There will also be a time for Q&A. So that you will be able to ask Dr. Whelan whatever questions you need. So that you may answer the questions that your children will encounter in schools. Ex nihilo. Creator God. How many times have you counted the word God in this chapter? How many times? I counted at least 29 times, including the word God used in Spirit of God in verse 2. Man was not mentioned, not even once, about man doing anything. God did everything. God blessed, God created, God made, God saw, God called, God did everything. Not man. So how could Darwin dare to say that it was by evolution? He wasn't there. Man did not do one single thing. Man was the object of God's creation. He was not the subject of anything. And now man dares to say God was not there. We just came about by accident. There was no creator. God made it very clear, and He is not apologetic. He is not going to beg us to believe. God just simply say, I created, I am the creator, period. Within 24 hours, God created all things in 6 days. 24 hours per day. And then you argue, how can that be? Scientists tell us that the furthest star, when they travel, how many light years before they can reach us, so when we can see this further star, it must have traveled from the moment it begins to exist. At the speed of light, they travel so many light years to reach us so that we on planet Earth can now observe this star. So that means it must be so many billions of years old for the light of the star to travel all the way here. God who created the star created the beams of the stars as well. You think God is so myopic? What is God created the sun, the moon and the stars for? To be seasons, to be days, so that they are signs for us to determine seasons, days and years. And if that is the purpose of these hosts in heaven, you think God would just simply create that and not create the beams as well, and to wait for millions of light years or light years away, so that then only they can become seasons, days and years? You think God is so myopic? God who created the stars created the beams of light as well, so that there is just like that. The beams just simply appear. And so what we have is what we call the appearance of age. God created. So when you look at a fully grown tree, how long does it take for a tree to grow all the way to its height? So many years. But it's only 24 hours, one day. Appearance of age. How old was Adam when Adam first met Eve? You think he was just a baby? She was a baby? He was fully good. He was able to commune with God. God gave him dominion. They were not babies. And so when you ask Adam, how old are you, Adam? One day, but cannot be. You're fully grown. Appearance of age. All the animals, the fish, the birds, the trees, the people, even the stars, they have the appearance of age. It looks as if it is so old, but actually it's only 24 hours. Appearance of age. God is all powerful. You think He cannot do that? How long does it take for the eyes of a baby to develop? 9 months, right? Is it 9 months? From tiny little, whatever you call it, right, to the fully grown before the baby comes up. 9 months? How long did it take for the Lord Jesus Christ to turn a blind man whose eyes have never seen before into perfect sight? Boom, just like that, right? Appearance of age. Did it take 9 months for this man to see again? All the miracles. Appearance of age. Lame, never walked before. How long does it take a muscle to develop? God just simply stand up and walk. They walked. Suddenly muscles fully grown, they can walk, they didn't limp. They didn't go for any physiotherapy, they just simply picked up the mat and they walked. Appearance of age. Didn't take so many months for muscles to develop. God just simply, boom, did it. That's miracles. The miraculous. And God did the same for us. And creation. Appearance of age. Answered all these silly notions of billions and millions of years old. And Dr. Carl Willem will talk more about that, I believe. How he will demonstrate human beings and dinosaurs, we live side by side. We coexisted together. There was no gap. Dinosaurs later, then man later, and so on and so forth. Millions of years old and so on. All these are nonsense. It takes so big faith to believe evolution than what the Bible tells us. Just simply take God at His word because He is all powerful. You look at puny man. Can puny man tell us so much about a world that is supposed to be, according to them, billions of years old? You know how much faith it takes? If you tell me that this man is all-powerful, all-knowing, then it's easy to believe. But he is just, 200 years ago? How long did he live? Like everybody else, 70 years and 10, and that's it. Within that short period of time. He can tell me everything about the whole world, billions of years old. You know how much faith it is to believe from a mouth of a man who is just like me, a puny little man, with all his finiteness? As opposed to what the Bible tells us, that there is this great God who did all things and brought all things into existence by His spoken word. And He did it again and again and again throughout the history of man. We call them miracles. He parted the Red Sea. He raised people from the dead. He fed using just the lunch of a little boy. 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He fed more than 5,000, because 5,000 men were there, excluding the women and the children. And there were 12 baskets full. This is the God that we believe in. This is the God who has made us. And this is the same God that we will have to give an account to one day. So from the origin of the universe, we know that creation came out of nothing. And the Creator is God Himself. And that's why God appears at least 29 times in this short chapter. On purpose. And God is the one who did everything. The subject of all the action, of all the verbs. He blessed, He created, He saw, He called, and He made. Nobody else but God. Don't deny His existence. We deceive ourselves and we will one day be the loser. You deny His existence, you pay the price. What price? The price of rejecting the character of God. What character of God, you may argue? From creation, you learn at least 3 things about this God. That He is a very wise God. How He created the entire environment before He created the creatures to survive in this environment. If it had been any one of us, we would be scratching our head. We don't know where to start. And many master planners of cities and architects and builders all learn from how God created from the very broad and general before He zoomed in on the tiny details. And when everything was all ready, then He created man. He did not create man and let him suspend him in thin air and then start to create the rest. Everything very carefully done. He is a very wise God. Not only is He a very wise God, He is a very powerful God as well. As you can see how He can create all these things by His spoken word. Words have power, you know that? You don't believe that? You go home and see what happens when you disobey your father and your mother. What happens when you disobey them? Their words have power. It's called the rod of correction. You disobey, pshaw, the power comes. Right? If they have not said so, you can do it. If they say so, don't you dare do that. You come home by this date or else. Power. Words of man, right? Words of our leaders have power. Words of the American president has power. What kind of power? The power given to them by man. The power stops when their term of office terminates. Is that not true? Words of power. Now we are talking about the power of God, His word, by His spoken word. Man will die in Revelation 19 when He comes on His white horse. King of kings, Lord of lords, by His spoken word. Demons flee. Men perish. Spoken word, power. He is a great God, a powerful God. Don't ever, ever forget that. Never lose sight of the awesome power of God, that when we approach Him, we tremble, we fear. Don't ever be arrogant and be presumptuous. And that's why when we worship, it must be awesome, it must be reverential. No dancing around, waving of hand, flipping here, dancing here, jumping here. This is not entertainment. You are not entertaining God. You are coming before a thrice holy God. Be reverential. He is powerful. And He is also a good God. He, as creator, has every right to dominate the world. But what did He do? He passed the dominion over to whom? To man. Verse 26. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the creature, and over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So in those days, whenever Adam wanted to have a bird on his wrist, birdie come, birdie will come. Dominion, right? Fish come, fish will come. Lion come, lion come. Any animal, any creature you call, they come. Dinosaur come, dinosaur come. Dinosaur kneel down, dinosaur kneel down. That's dominion, rule. But you say the whole world has changed. How come it's not like that now? Genesis explains. Genesis 9 explains very clearly why. Do you know why? Because for the first time after the flood, God says, now I give you permission to eat meat. But the fear of man will now be found in all these creatures. Now they are afraid of you. Now they run away from you. Why? Because now God says you can catch them and eat them. Last time you catch them, you don't eat them. That's why they can come. And so God will make it difficult for us to now eat meat, whether fish or birds or land animals. It's going to be difficult. Why difficult? It is for our good. So that we will have less time to monkey around and do nonsense. Keep our hands busy. Idle mind, devil's workshop. Too much time, you roam the street, you turn crooked. All the things that God punish us because we will sin and we have sinned and we will change. And God says, keep yourself busy in good things. Work hard now. So that you have less time to do evil. And despite all these, very soon the world will change very quickly. And look at the world today. No matter how difficult it is, you and I will still find time to sin, right? True or not true? Imagine, whenever you want to eat something, you just call the bird, come down, bird come, take, cut, eat, cook, finish. What do we do now? So easy to eat and cook now. To cook and eat, I mean. Not eat and cook, cook and eat. So easy now, right? You want to go fishing, you want to sit there for hours. By Jesus, fish come, my fish will come. So what do you do now? You just, so much time now. Last time you used to take 6 hours to catch. Now 6 minutes. So what do you do with the rest of the time? How to do more evil? How to cheat? How to kill? How to maim? That's why God says, keep yourself busy. That's all these things will be good. Dominion, that's a good God. He entrusted dominion over to man. You will now rule. A wise God, a great God, a good God. Some of us say, well, I don't care. Fine, you may not care. Please turn to Psalm 19, the passage that was read earlier by the chairman, Elder Chu. Psalm 19. And then after Psalm 19, we're going to look at another passage and let's see whether you still care or not care. Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth His handiwork. So you look up into the heavens, you look around you, it tells us that there is a Creator and He is God. You see that He is wise, you see that He is powerful, and you see that He is good. He provides you rain and sun that you may survive on this earth. Day and night utter a speech. Sorry, day unto day utter a speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. In other words, it continues to speak to us. Day and night, 24 hours. Night time, it speaks. Same message. He is wise, He is great, He is good. Daytime, same message. He is wise, He is great, He is good. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. So everyone, regardless of what nation you come from, whether you live in a tall high-rise building, 100 stories in the sky, or you live in the jungles of Africa, everybody can understand this language. The language of God's creation. 24 hours a day, non-stop, it continues to broadcast. God is wise, God is great, God is good. Their line is gone out throughout all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them has He set a tabernacle for the sun. Just like the sun shines on every corner, every inch of the earth, the language, the voice of God continue to shout out to the whole world, so that no one can say, I can't hear, I did not hear. Now you look at Romans 1. Romans chapter 1. Verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. Against whom? Against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. You and I know the truth that God exists, that He is wise, He is powerful, and He is good. But we refuse to listen. We turn it into theory of evolution. There is no God. We came about by accident. Just boom, we just simply begin. And we are all related to apes. And the reason why we all have back aches is because we are not used to walking upright. We are all used to bend and crawl on all fours. That's what evolution, PhDs, evolutionists will say. Heard it from BBC, okay? Give us another 1,000 years when we are used to walking upright, no more back pain. Hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, where? In creation. Manifest means make plain and clear. For God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. God is wise. God is great, God is good. Being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that men are without excuse. In other words, God is telling us, you may ignore my creation, but my voice from creation will continue to declare day and night, I am great, I am good, and I exist. I am a wise God. And you and I will ignore it. God says, one day, when you stand before me, my creation will be sufficient evidence to condemn you to hell. And you will be without excuse. The rest of this chapter tells us what happens. Why this world is full of sin. And in such a bad, bad shape. Because they rejected Creator and they replaced Him with creatures. And the first sin that God highlighted is the sin of homosexuality. And then subsequently, the family of sins are all mentioned for us from verse 28 onwards. A very familiar list. Psalm 19 tells us that, verse 1 to verse 6, they describe God's creation. God's creation is sufficient to condemn all sinners to hell, and God said they will be without excuse. He doesn't need to use the commandments. He just simply used creation. Because if God uses the Ten Commandments, there are those who will argue, nobody came and gave me the Ten Commandments, I did not know. Creation, 24 hours, day and night, tells us that God exists, and God says that is enough to condemn us. It is not enough to save us, to bring us to heaven. That requires special revelation, and that's Psalm 19, verse 7 onwards. The law of the Lord is pure. The law of the Lord is good, is righteous, the statute, and so on. That requires the special revelation, and that is the Word of God. We need Jesus Christ to enter into heaven, but God doesn't need Jesus Christ to condemn us. God just simply used creation. For God sent Jesus Christ not to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. John 3:17. But He will use creation to condemn us. And please, therefore, do not treat the origin of the universe lightly. It is sufficient to condemn any and every sinner on the day of judgment. And when we manipulate and we replace God with evolution, and God's creation is no more ex nihilo, or we just came about out of accident and so on and so forth, you diminish the work of God, you see what God will do to you. We in this world of ours argue so much, cry so loud, when someone infringes your copyright. You have registered, you are the owner, you are the creator of this thing, right? Whatever it is, whether it is a motor car or whether it is a piano, whatever it is. And somebody takes your design and say, it is mine, what do you do? Or somebody says, it is not you, somebody else, what do you do? You patent it and somebody takes your design, makes money out of it, you sue that person, infringement of copyright, right? God created all things. You say He did not do it. You say some creatures did it. It came about out of nothing. You think God is just going to sit there quietly when we, our puny little invention, infringement of copyright, you make me lose money. You're talking about creation. You want to kick up a big fuss because of infringement of copyright. God says, in the beginning, I created the heaven and the earth. Period. And we say, you did not. That means you what? You're a liar. And you think God will just simply lie down and play dead and He's not going to do anything? Romans 1, without excuse, He will judge and He will condemn. Only way where we can get out of this is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because God sent Jesus Christ to die for our sins. And it is the saddest thing when so-called professing Christians want to befriend all these evolutionists who now undermine God's work. And then you just simply Christianize this evil and call it theistic evolution, and therefore it can become good and God-honoring because you say God used this terrible method. You turn the Word of God upside down because you want to befriend these enemies of God's Word and God Himself. Shame on us who call ourselves Christians and who will indulge in such travesty of justice and abomination. May God cause us to realize that if we truly call ourselves Christians, let Him, God that is, be our Creator, our Sustainer, our Provider. And may the fear of God be in our hearts to help us realize that this same God, if He is not your Heavenly Father today, one day He will be your judge. And by then, you cannot deny His existence and His creation. The only way is to come and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, whom God sent to die for our sins. And God accepted what He has done for us by raising Him from the dead. And if you truly, sincerely believe in Him, that's the only way out. of this terrible, terrible confusion that we are living in. It is not by might, nor by our mind or ability that we understand that God is the Creator. It's by faith. And this faith comes by first believing that God sent Jesus Christ to die for your sins. And the same faith that enabled us to believe that God created all things. He is the Creator. And He is a wise God, a good God, and a great God. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, grant to us strength, courage, and faith to believe Thy holy word, to know that Thou art indeed the Creator of heaven and earth, and beside Thee there is none other. And as we bow humbly before Thy holy presence, we realize, O Lord, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities in high places. Keep our children in particular from the deceptions that are so rampant nowadays in our schools as well as in the world that we live in. May Thou be merciful to open our eyes that we may truly see Thee for who Thou art, our Creator, our Sustainer, and our loving Heavenly Father. Help us for Jesus' sake, and bless the Sunset Gospel Bible Fellowship that more may come and be blessed and be instructed, for only in and through Thy holy word we can ward off the deceptions and the evil of these last days. Hear our cry for Jesus' sake. In Jesus' name we give thanks and pray. Amen.